Hi, this is Bob Enyart with Real Science Friday. Did you know you could get CDs from us and listen to a year's worth of Real Science Friday shows on one CD? It is so much fun. In fact, I'm holding in my hand the Real Science Friday 2011 CD. You can get the MP3 CD, play it in an MP3 player, or even play it in a DVD player or your computer. So you can get it for 2011, 2010, all the way back to 2006. If you'd like, hundreds of Real Science Friday shows convenient on a single MP3 CD, and it'll support the airing of Real Science Friday. So just call us at 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278, or go online, realsciencefriday.com, and click on the store. And of course, that'll help us continue to broadcast. May God bless you. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to another episode of Real Science Friday. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
Fred, this past week, it was sad, the passing of Neil Armstrong.
Yeah, the first man to walk on the moon.
That's right, who said, "One small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind." Now, it's one giant leap for a man. If he thought he had taken a journey into the beyond back on July 21st, 1969, did you watch that? I saw it live as it was happening with my family in New Jersey. Did you happen to see that?
I did, yeah. Vaguely remember it, but yes.
Yeah, a long time ago.
I was one of the millions.
Hundreds of millions of people saw that. Well, if he thought he had taken a journey into the beyond in 1969, well, last Saturday was really the first day of the ultimate journey. And so, Fred, you and I decided we'd talk about, of all things, the moon hoax, the claim by conspiracy theorists that we never went to the moon or that Neil Armstrong never walked on the moon.
Yeah, and there was a movie that kind of promoted that idea as kind of a fictional account.
That's
right. Yeah, I remember hearing about that, you know, about this moon thing is a hoax and this and that. And I never looked into it because it was just so silly. I didn't believe it.
It's so absurd on the face of it. But what we thought we would do is go through the actual arguments. And in order to do that, we've reviewed some of the material.
Yeah, so I reviewed some of this online, but I know that you actually watched the video that these guys put out.
With Will Duffy.
Yeah.
We got
you and Will watched it.
Conspiracy theory, Did We Land on the Moon, 2001. We looked at other claims.
And that promotes the idea that it really didn't happen.
That it was a fraud.
That they faked it.
It was a hoax.
Exactly.
And then also we got the episode of Mythbusters on the moon landing.
And so they counter the claims of these hoax conspiracies.
They looked at, I think, three specific claims. They did a fabulous job. And also we got another documentary with NASA officials, Apollo 11, First Steps on the Moon, and looked at NASA books with huge photos of what happened with those early. A dozen men walked on the moon. And what's interesting about Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, the first two men on the moon, is that something happened right before Neil Armstrong walked down that ladder.
Well, didn't Buzz Aldrin have communion?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. In fact, at the time, NASA was being sued by that atheist, Madeleine Murray O'Hare, mm-hmm. who was apparently murdered by somebody in her organization.
Yeah, because of some prior sighting of Genesis, wasn't it, a prior Apollo mission?
That's right, Apollo 8. It was Christmas Eve, and they quoted from the book of Genesis, and much of the world heard that. It was so exciting. And so these atheists are angry. They're always angry.
Yeah.
And so they were suing NASA, and so NASA told Buzz Aldrin, he had a chalice with him from his church, and he brought little packets of the bread and the wine, and they told him they were going to go to radio blackout because they didn't want to get the atheist upset while he had communion.
It's amazing how they caved to these atheist demands, and there's such a small minority, especially back then.
Mm-hmm. And so it's so neat that our dear friend Eric Metaxas, who flew out to Denver to speak in support of personhood at Colorado Right to Life's March for Life, he's the biographer of Bonhoeffer and the amazing Grace book of William Wilberforce. Well, he had the honor of meeting Buzz Aldrin, and he asked Buzz, could you confirm this account? Did you have communion on the moon? And Buzz Aldrin gave him quite an account, and that's documented on Eric Metaxas' blog. And it's just so encouraging. And he quoted from the Lord. He read, in fact, the scripture, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me will bring forth much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so this is a stunning thing, the realization that the first food eaten on the moon was communion.
In honor of the Creator.
That's right.
That's awesome.
And Buzz Aldrin said that when he poured the wine into the communion cup, the chalice, it was so interesting to see how it gracefully curled down past the bottom of the cup and back up toward the lip because they had 1/6 gravity. So it behaved differently.
Yeah, wow.
So that's a really neat story. And I like Buzz Aldrin.
I do too.
So why do you like Buzz Aldrin?
Man, I like him for decking this guy that told him the moon was a conspiracy.
Yeah, one of the filmmakers.
Yeah, he came up to him and he called him, what, a liar and a coward and a thief.
And this was on CNN, the video. It's well documented. And Buzz Aldrin, they were filming, right?
Yeah, you can see this and probably find it on YouTube.
Buzz Aldrin's got
quite a right cross.
I mean, he hit this guy smack in the face in Christian love.
That's right.
What a hero, Buzz Aldrin.
Yeah, the guys on the interview said that, you know, he's my hero for doing that.
Right.
I mean, this guy's questioning his integrity, and it's so silly.
And the court said, look, we're not going to let you sue Buzz Aldrin. Those are fighting words. You tell a man you're a liar, a thief, a coward, and he punches you in the face if it's unprovoked. You know, buyer beware.
Yeah, wasn't it like the L.A. prosecutor said that I'm not going to prosecute him?
I'm not going to prosecute this
guy. I'm going to shake his hand.
Yeah, exactly. And so also the 8th astronaut who walked on the moon, James Irwin, went to be with the Lord back in 1991. And he was a friend of the Christian ministry I was on the board with for some time, Maranatha Christian Center, and gave signed, autographed photographs of himself on the moon. And in fact, that's now with the Sunshine Ranch in Larkspur, Colorado, for pastors and missionaries, a retreat center. And so there are people who are believers who are astronauts and people who were not or people we don't know. And I don't know about the personal beliefs of Neil Armstrong, but it's amazing that when a believer dies versus an unbeliever, our body sort of is an anchor or a tether, keeps us on the surface of the earth, our spirit, our soul spirit. But when you die, your body's separated, and the unbeliever, his soul spirit then plummets. He literally falls into the abyss of hell itself. Whereas the believer, when we die and our body's separated, our spirit soars into the heavens, beyond the heavens, to eternal glory with God. So, yeah, it's extraordinary. This is all real. This is not make-believe.
Exactly.
This life is not a dress rehearsal.
Yeah, and I think you're kind of like me. You're curious. You look up, was this guy a Christian? Because you're concerned. You hope that he was.
Sure, absolutely. So Will Duffy watched these documentaries, these videos with me. And so, Fred, why don't we go through these arguments? Why don't you begin? We have quite a list to consider. The people who say that we never went to the moon, these alleged documentaries, they're fakes in and of themselves, mm-hmm. or they're absurd. But they've been shown, I would estimate, in thousands of classrooms in our public schools.
Oh, yeah.
I know plenty of people who believe this craziness, and we've been able to bring them out of that absurd belief.
Yeah, and they employ trickery and some illusion, right? And we'll mm-hmm. talk about that, how they do that. And
yeah.
I mean, the first argument here is that you can't see the stars in various photos.
Right. Now, why would that be? NASA took thousands of photos on the surface of the moon, and you can't see the stars in the ones that are popular, the ones that are shown. So why would that be? What's your take on that?
Well, you know, because when you take these pictures, you'd have a bright foreground, right?
Right.
And a dark background.
Right.
So you can't 100% just look at a picture and say that you're seeing the whole picture.
Yeah. When I take a photo of our kids skiing, and the snow is so bright in the foreground, and what I want to get in the background goes dark, and I have a problem. I'm not a professional photographer. And so you're supplying too much light in the camera, and these are cameras from the 1960s era technology, they can't handle it, so the background gets washed out or goes dark. And so that's why the stars didn't appear, because the sun is reflecting off the surface of the moon, and the moon is mostly silicon. God said he made two lights, one for the day, one for the night, and the thing we make mirrors out of, silicon, because it reflects so amazingly well, and so the surface of the moon is bright, and so the stars are simply washed out. It's not that there were no stars, and these were Hollywood producers faking, like on Capricorn 1, the movie, faking a lunar landing, and they forgot to put stars in. Like that would really be amazing if a Hollywood producer forgot to put stars up in space.
Yeah, and if you take the picture maybe at a different angle, upward or something, you'd see stars, but that wasn't the purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, Bob, this kind of reminds me, just real quickly, the 9/11 hoax theory guys, they talked about this bomb that was underneath one of the planes, and in the photo, you see a shadow. Well, there's photos from other angles that don't show the bomb, and yet they just totally dismiss that. They're so wanting to believe in a conspiracy that they'll focus on the one photograph that has a shadow, and that's all it is a shadow, and they say it's a bomb.
Right.
So, you know, you can't trust everything you see on a photograph. No, this isn't the whole story.
You have to think about it. You have to consider the alternative. So then there's the claim that the craters on the moon were actually from Area 51. in Nevada, and that was a popular claim before Google Earth, because now we could look at
Area 51 with Google Earth, right?
And so if in fact there were craters in Area 51 that match what we have in the photos of the lunar landings, we'd all know where they are. You could get the latitude longitude coordinates, you plug that into Google Maps, and you'll see it. But they don't match the Area 51.
So, Bob, what about the noise problem? Weren't the engines really quiet?
Yeah, the hoax guys say, you know, when you watch Star Trek, whenever they're on the ship, you hear this hum in the background. And so they figured, hey, there's no hum. Where's the engine hum? When the astronauts are speaking, it's quiet, so that's proof that they're on a sound stage. Now, if a Hollywood producer is faking it, they're going to have a hum, you know? I mean, sound is an important part of making a movie. But when you're in space, it's a relative vacuum, and sound waves travel through our atmosphere, through the air. And so when you're in your car and you can hear the engine, part of it is because the sound of the engine is bouncing off of the air, the oxygen, nitrogen, all molecules that are around your car. It's bouncing back off the air back to you. But then the craft itself would have to conduct the sound through the spacecraft. And the spacecraft was insulated to keep the astronauts from freezing to death, and so it was very quiet. That's not an anomaly. That's expected.
Yeah, that's right. So this wasn't a lunar stealth landing module?
That's right. Yeah, there was no silencer on the engine.
Well, you know, hey, I saw the B-2 fly over one of the Broncos games. They do flyovers.
Oh, yeah.
And you could not hear that thing. It was amazing. It's just like, hey, there's a bat up there.
Wow, that is cool, isn't that?
Yeah.
That is impressive. It's a hoax.
Yeah, I didn't really see that.
So, Fred, how about the fact that there was no crater when the lunar module landed? Shouldn't there be a crater like 20 feet deep in the dust of the moon?
Well, didn't they expect to have 100 feet thickness of dust on the moon?
That's what the atheist and the evolutionist
thought. Now, why did
they
think that? Is that because of believing in a really old moon?
That's
maybe
it. They believe the moon was 4 billion years old. Now, some creationists think we shouldn't talk about dust on the moon, but I think they're wrong, Fred. The atheist and the physicist who reject that God created the Earth, they believe that the moon was there for billions of years, and so it would be collecting dust. It doesn't have an atmosphere like the Earth, so the dust would just be settled evenly across the whole surface of the moon, and it might be 100 meters deep or so. And so the creationist at the time said, well, the moon has only been there for thousands of years, not millions or billions, so there'll only be a tiny little bit of dust on the surface of
just
the moon.
Just a little bit of dust.
Right.
But who did they believe?
They didn't believe us, the creationists.
Because didn't they build big lunar pads?
They sure did. The lunar landing module had these feet that looked like bowls.
Yeah,
they looked like bowls, like they're concave, so that they wouldn't sink, so that it wouldn't sink in the dust. Well, it turns out that there was only an inch or so of dust, just a slight covering of dust. Mm-hmm. And what happened was NASA had sent previous unmanned vehicles to the moon, and they had determined by the time they launched Apollo 11, they knew there was only a little bit of dust on the moon. But when they were designing the lunar lander, they didn't know. And they thought there could be a lot, so they designed the feet so that it wouldn't sink in the dust.
And then they learned later, but they didn't change their design because they really didn't need to, right?
They didn't need to.
It's still going to work.
And, you know, when you change something last minute, you throw off calculations. And they were very smart, as it turns out, to not change it.
Yeah.
So what's interesting is Walt Brown, a dear friend of Real Science Friday, he got his degree from MIT, a PhD in electrical engineering, and he studied this issue extensively. And he has a technical paper in his book, In the Beginning, that we sell here at Real Science Friday, and it's online. You could go to his website, we link to it, and you could read how Walt Brown does a tremendous job showing that there should be many meters of dust on the surface of the moon if, in fact, the moon is billions of years old. And so I think the creationists who say, don't talk about the moon dust, I think they're wrong. They're behind the times with the science. They should update. And if Walt Brown is wrong in his math,
yeah, show him where he's wrong. Use an actual,
right,
you know, some calculations. And I agree with you, Bob. I don't think we've seen that, right?
No.
I've heard some creationists say don't use this as an argument.
But yeah. But it seems like a perfectly valid argument. So no crater in the moon from the lunar lander. Well, the expectation of a deep crater came from the belief that the moon would be covered in 100 meters of dust. And the moon is mostly a rock with a little bit of dust on it. So not only that, gravity. Think about landing this spacecraft on Earth, right? You need a lot of force to land it. But on the moon, the gravity is just 1/6 of what it is on the Earth.
That's right.
So you need only 1/6 of the force to slow it down and land it as you would on the Earth. So it wouldn't create this big crater like you might imagine.
So what about the funny photos that they use as evidence?
Yeah, there are photos. It's so interesting. They say, well, look at these two photos. The one has the lunar lander in it. The other doesn't. So how could they have possibly taken the same exact photo from the same exact place showing the same exact hillscape, lunar scape, but without the lunar lander module in it? Because even when they blast off back into orbit, they leave the base of it on the moon. So they say it's not possible. So they would have had to take in the photo before they got to the moon. That's their argument. Well, what they forgot is that there's no atmosphere on the moon.
No atmosphere. Okay.
Right. And so on Earth, if we take a photo of a hill or a mountain that's far away, you look at the photo and you could sense that it's far away because the colors are slightly washed out by the atmosphere, by the oxygen. Well, on the moon, there is no atmosphere. And so things that look close could be actually very far away. And there's a perfect example of this online on YouTube where the astronauts simply took photos of hills that were very far away. One of the photos they took with the lunar lander module in the photo. Another, they walked to the side and took a similar photo. If it was on Earth, you'd say that hill is really close and the lunar lander module is not in the picture, so what's up?
Yeah.
But this was on the moon. And on YouTube, you see the two photos and you could go back and forth, rewind, play. And there's a parallax between them. The slight difference in angle because the astronaut was just slightly off to
the
side.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So these are examples. When you show kids in high school a documentary saying, well, there's no noise, there's no stars, there's no crater.
And again, they're using illusion trickery. Really.
Right.
There's really solid explanations for this stuff, as you're pointing out.
Yeah. How about the half-speed video claim? You recall that one where they said that what NASA did was they videotaped the astronauts walking on a soundstage or in Area 51, and then they played the video at half speed to make it look like,
they were all walking slow
on the Earth. Now, this is where Mythbusters comes in. They're brilliant. They're in many of the myths they debunk.
Mm-hmm.
They do a great job. In this case, they go to NASA and they say, or was it the Air Force? Could we use your plane that gets us to zero gravity? Because we want to videotape ourselves on Earth and then play it half speed, third speed, two-thirds speed. And then we want to do the same thing in space at zero gravity and one-sixth gravity.
And then play that at normal speed?
Yeah, and then just play
and
that.
And compare them.
Yeah, and compare. It turns out when you play video at half speed, it looks like you're playing video at half speed. It does not look like you're in 1/6 gravity and you're running or jumping very different. Fred, if you remember later, Apollo 15 astronaut Dave Scott did this test proposed by Galileo that if you don't have an atmosphere in a vacuum, you drop a feather and you drop a hammer and they'll hit the ground at the same time, and they did that. And that worked. So what, did they turn an entire soundstage into a zero-gravity spaceship? No, of course. So the half-speed video was a hokey claim to begin with. It's been conclusively shown to be false. There's the whole thing about where were the astronauts, the Apollo 11, for 8 days. 8 days. I mean, the world saw them being rescued out of the capsule in the Pacific Ocean, and there was media there, and a ship has, what, thousands of people on these Navy ships? And the whole world watched them blast off into space. So the claim was they went up, they came down, then they shot them back up, and they came down in another capsule, and then they were rescued from the ocean.
Can you imagine the number of people that would have to be in on this conspiracy? and they've kept quiet all this time. They haven't written books about it.
Yeah. Fred, it's not hundreds. It's thousands.
It's thousands of people.
There's thousands of people would have to be in on all these aspects to pull off this hoax.
Well, that's the thing with most conspiracies. There have to be tons of people in on
it.
And you have to rely on everybody, you know, sticking to the story.
Yeah. And I think of some of the things that happened with Bill Clinton, where there's only two people in the room, and then the whole world knows. And there were only two people. And they were both in on some kind of, you know, criminal, something wrong. And the whole world knows. And you're going to keep secrets of hundreds and thousands of people involved.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the photo editors, the light guys, the sound guys, the producers, the directors, all the actors, all the astronauts, their families. Fred, I think that people who fight the government, like I do, the government kills kids. So I fight them.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell children that they've evolved from animals. So I fight the godless government schools and their promotion of homosexuality and their socialism. But people who try to fight for what's right, and the government does so many evil things, they have this tendency to believe anything bad said about the government, no matter what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Like 9/11 was an inside job. Well, you wouldn't put it past them, would you?
The Defense Department, and they wanted a war and all this stuff.
Yeah,
all different kind of goofy ideas.
Right, exactly. And so it turns out that they are, first, just because you have a thought doesn't mean you have evidence. A thought doesn't equate to evidence. And secondly, they watch too much like the Man from U.N.C.L.E. and these weird old TV shows from the 60s. They think the government is omni-capable. The government is all power. It could do all these things. And so if you have a bit more of an intuitive sense of reality and you hear somebody say, 9/11 was an inside job, or we never went to the moon, you could say, are you mentally ill?
Or there really are aliens at Roswell and Men in Black really is true.
Yeah. Do you smoke pot? I mean, that's the first thing I like to. How often and how long have you smoked pot?
Yeah.
I'd like to know, because what's the sense of debating when people can't even think if they can't think? And so I think, for example, 9/11 was an inside job. I think that is close to mental illness.
Yeah.
Or perhaps it is an indication of mental illness. That's a serious topic.
I remember you said that once. You said it's 1 inch shy of mental illness to believe 9/11 is a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
And so many people do. I'm surprised how many people actually believe that.
Yeah.
And you point to the evidence against it, like I mentioned earlier, and they just kind of dismiss it in their mind. They don't even want to hear it because they really want to believe in a conspiracy.
So, Fred, then we're almost out of time. But some people in the hoax crowd, they said, well, they were just orbiting the Earth for 8 days. They didn't go to the moon. Well, we had Russia and the U.S. monitoring concern about incoming ICBMs. And what? Russia's not going to say, you guys didn't go to the moon.
Exactly.
We've been watching you orbiting the Earth.
They'd have loved to have said that.
Of course they would have.
They'd have loved to catch us on that. Bob, one of my favorite is the flag waving on the moon.
Oh,
Without a breeze.
That was a great one that MythBusters did so well.
So was there a breeze on the moon?
No breeze on the moon. Okay. There's no atmosphere.
Okay.
There's no air. No wind.
So and what's yet, up with a waving flag?
Right. When our astronauts put a flag on the moon, it waves. The reason it waves, Mythbusters, they put a flag in a vacuum. And there's no oxygen to stop it from moving. So it just keeps on going back and forth on its merry old time, waving until finally it runs out of energy and stops.
Yeah, kind of like a pendulum.
Exactly right. And so that's why the flag waved. Also, when the craft took off again, the flag waved. And I bet you from the red and white stripes on the flag, how they would heat differently, that it would even move because of the change in the fabric and the temperature of the fabric. But so those are examples. Also, footprints. They say on the moon you couldn't form a footprint. We see those nice footprints of the astronauts' boots. And they say you need wet sand to form a footprint. Otherwise, the sand just falls in.
Okay.
And you lose the form of the footprint.
So did Mythbusters test this theory out too?
Well, they did. And it turns out that, first of all, there's 1/6 less gravity. So the sand doesn't tend to fall in the same. But the sand on the moon is not rounded like sand on the Earth from wind and water erosion. Mm-hmm. So our grains of sand are all rounded. They all fall in. On the moon, it's a different kind of sand, a regolith. And so they use that kind of sand in Mythbusters. And in a vacuum, dry sand, they formed a perfect footprint.
Were there dinosaur footprints?
And not on the moon. So also, Neil Armstrong was transparent in some of the photos, like coming down the ladder. And that's because that old camera technology.
Oh,
that's
absolutely.
Why we use screensavers, so you don't keep the image on your screen after it goes away.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And so, Fred, there were so many examples like this, and it was really fun to be able to analyze it and see that there is no good scientific evidence. The hoax is a hoax.
The hoax is a hoax. And if anyone tells you otherwise, give them a good right cross.
Like Buzz Aldrin. And so what's fun is that Jesus in the Gospel of John chapter 5, he said, look, credibility is important. He said, if I testify concerning myself, that's not credible. He said, there are others that testify of me, including the scriptures, the miracles I do.
That's right.
And other persons who testify
like,
of me.
If you're not going to believe me, believe the things that I've done.
Believe
the miracles,
all the evidence.
Appeal to the evidence.
Right. And the book of Hebrews says that faith is the evidence of things not seen.
That's right.
And so we should intuitively know that God exists. Without God, we can't think even. We can't reason. But God has also filled the world and the universe with evidence. So we need to protect our credibility and not say things, not repeat conspiracy theories that are false, because then people don't believe us about the gospel.
That's right.
Thank you, Fred Williams.
Thanks, Bob.
KGov.com. Hi, this is Bob Enyart with Real Science Friday. Did you know you could get CDs from us and listen to a year's worth of Real Science Friday shows on one CD? It is so much fun. In fact, I'm holding in my hand the Real Science Friday 2011 CD. You can get the MP3 CD, play it in an MP3 player, or even play it in a DVD player or your computer. So you can get it for 2011, 2010, all the way back to 2006. If you'd like, hundreds of Real Science Friday shows convenient on a single MP3 CD, and it'll support the airing of Real Science Friday. So just call us at 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278, or go online, realsciencefriday.com, and click on the store. And of course, that'll help us continue to broadcast. May God bless you.